Reborn, sponsored by Esports Triangle Pub. That's right, home of the renowned, juiciest, largest burger in the world. That's right, a diverse menu. Steak, seafood, pasta, whatever your passion. Todd's Chili. And I love Todd's Chili. My goodness. Nightly dinner and taproom specials, the NFL package. You'll be able to see the Jets and Giants there. Just make sure you have some Tums handy after that. Full menu located right at the traffic light three-corner intersection, just south of Sunrise, 61 Eastport. All in all, the public's review of the menu speaks for itself. Massive return, satisfied diners in all. Great Eastport Triangle Pub. Mr. DePiro, how are you, sir?
Okay, I was just thinking of something. Imagine a sports world where Billy Martin had access to Twitter.
Oh, that would be great, huh? Back in the old days?
God, I think I'd be on that thing every minute checking. It would put Trump's Twitter to shame.
Can you imagine in those days if you had Billy Martin, George Steinbrenner, and Reggie Jackson? A tripod among tripods of Twitter.
Be perfect.
Remember that whole thing, one's a liar and one's a convicted liar. I always remember that line.
Yes,
from the great George.
Speaking of
good
which,
stuff,
I had a nightmare the other night that the Jets fire Gase, right? Woody Johnson tells his brother, fire him. And Joe Douglas is Gase's friend. Because remember, in the backwards world of the Jets, the coach hired the GM, and that's his friend. So they make a triumphant announcement the week after, like right before the season starts. Let's say, like, you know, it's packed. Who's the new Jet coach? It's September 2020. And on the PA announcement, it goes, the new coach of the Jets is Adam Gase. But you don't hear anybody applaud, and then everybody empties out of the stadium.
Pretty much. You know what would be the great result for this Sunday? How about a 10-10 tie? Because, you know, they say the loser of this game, the coach, is gone. I think they're both going to go at the end of the year. But to put an exclamation point on this wonderful season that we are all enduring, how about a 10-10 tie with, like, no offense coming from either side, obviously. You know, maybe a couple of picks on each from Jones and Darnold. You know, how about a little bit of that? How about a little clock mismanagement on both ends, too?
I'm going to go one better with you on that, Jay.
Yeah,
one of the local dailies said you almost expect something very bad to go wrong that will end this game. I say, well, of course, the Giants have the history of it. The quarterback of one team hands off to the running back instead of running out the clock. The ball bounces in the air, and either the Jets or the Giants run it back into the end zone like the great Giants fumble of 78. How about that?
All I know is I'm going to be sitting pretty on Sunday. I'm not even going to watch the game because I got plans, but, boy, I'll tell you, that is rough, the inept ball. All right.
No reason to watch it. Go ahead.
No,
on we go.
It was not an inept election for the town of Riverhead. And by the way, Yvette Aguilar is going to be with us, from what I understand, in about an hour. We look forward to that. But Yvette Aguilar, you're going to have a new supervisor, Mr. DePiro, out in Riverhead. No surprise to me. They change rather handily, although Sean Walters got 8 years, I believe. Interesting. Yvette Aguilar wins by, what, 700 or so votes?
She won pretty handily, and I know that, unfortunately, you have a person who loses the election, which is Laura Jen Smith. In my opinion, I think she was saddled with the EPCAL situation. There were a couple things that were not her fault, one of those things being also that one of those new supposed workforce housing buildings on Main Street, which has sadly more and more, it looks like it didn't turn out to be workforce housing residents, or not at least the amount that they should have been. However, Aguiar's campaign, if you put everything in today's political climate, so we're going to go to the national election, you would swear that if you read what her campaign platform was, we have to crack down on the illegal housing, there's no code enforcement, this situation is out of control. You would have sworn that this was Trump running for the town of Riverhead and not a Hispanic woman. Yet, Yvette Aguiar, a newcomer, comes in, and this, to me, I told you last week, I thought it would be a close election. But, wow, this may end up being a win-win for the town of Riverhead, because she's identified problems. She's not categorizing one party's mindset versus another party's mindset. And she even said in her campaign speech, she's going to reach out and talk to each and every one in the town of Riverhead, voice their concerns. I think this is going to be a real good situation for the town of Riverhead. One thing that I am almost sure that really got voters in Riverhead fed up was the situation with the oncoming influx of new students arriving into that Riverhead school system. They're being overloaded. They're being overtaxed. This has been on the rumblings for quite some time as more enrollment comes in every year. To me, I think that is what led to the changing of the guard in the town of Riverhead. I would bet my bottom dollar on it that that was the top issue.
Well, you know, listen, you talk about overcrowding and everything else. You know, it's a group of people out there that, you know, they're very set in their ways. You know, having worked there myself for 5 years doing radio and everything. And listen, you want to say that? Yes. You want to say overdevelopment, 58, underdevelopment, Main Street? It's always been a typical topic of conversation. You want to tell me EPCAL? Now, listen, Laura Jen Smith inherited this Illuminati stuff from Sean Walter, the $40 million. She wasn't a proponent of it, we know. But you have to have, in my opinion, if something falls through, if you're not sold on it, then what do you have as far as in your back pocket? You see, to me, not really a strong contingency plan at EPCAL was another factor as far as maybe why she lost the election. And, you know, quite frankly, I look at EPCAL like this, Rob. You know, it's almost like, you know what, you and I like talking sports a little bit, but it's almost like, you know, if you're the Cubs, let's say, and you win a World Series as they did a few years ago, well, guess what? You know, if you haven't won one in 100 years, they're going to put up a statue of you. You know, if Yvette Aguiar comes in, does a great job, gets EPCAL rolling, you know, tax rolls and everything else, you know, as far as alleviating that from the residents, guess what? They're going to put a statue up of her because they have been so inept, you know, the leaders of Riverhead as far as occupying that territory in the proper way. If she can somehow get this thing going, take care of some of the overcrowding that's going on, start to build up Main Street, a couple of great pieces there already. You know, we can go on and on and on with some. Guess what? You're going to see Yvette Aguiar in bronze in 25 years. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way it is in Riverhead. You know, listen, you do all that stuff, they're going to love you.
And she has made that kind of known that one of her campaign's issues, one of her strategies, was to finish this deal that has been lingering at EPCAL. To me, this is a win-win for Triple Five, because Triple Five's biggest enemy was Laura Jen Smith. However, you can't deny the fact that Laura Jen Smith had very valid reasons to question exactly what Triple Five was doing. Specifics, do they have the finances? So it's almost like you. I liken it to my opinion. Like let's say a team is supposed to win a division, but they suffer like six major injuries. But at the end of the year, they just come in, and the manager gets fired because the team underperformed. That's the way that I look at it. But yeah. I think Aguiar is going to be really good for the town of Riverhead.
So do I. I look forward to talking with her, too, around 8:30. Let's move on to what's going on in West Hampton. I know you spoke with the mayor, Maria Moore. Can you cue that up, Ms. Carey? Let's hear what Rob and the mayor of West Hampton had to speak about. Okay.
Well, we're making great progress with the Main Street reconstruction project. We've already removed all the asphalt, concrete, the soil, the old drainage, and now the new drainage is put in place. The underground utilities are going in right now, and new curbs and sidewalks on the way. We expect to be finished with the road portion of the project before the end of this year, and starting in January, we'll begin with the sidewalk work.
That's West Hampton Beach Mayor Maria Moore on the West Hampton Beach Main Street Reconstruction Project. She's got it all going there. It's going to be good. It's going to be a nice little hookup to Gabreski as well, right? The sewer district.
Correct. Yeah, there was rumblings at the start, really. Well, they were valid concerns, you know, because the fall business district got wiped out on Main Street in West Hampton Beach. And the timeline even got moved up from October 1st to September 15th. But the deal was they had a choice, you know, do you risk having this wipe out all of May, wipe out Memorial Day 2020, or do you get it going now? And Mayor Moore told me yesterday that this is a definite, this work will be done by May 15th as far as the renovation of Main Street. It'll be all looking up nice, and what the architectural designs look like does look quite impressive. But the incentive is there for the developer, Bovee Industries, to get the work done on time so there's no unexpected, you know, disaster like, uh-oh, what happened here? So, and then the next year, that will be the next off season. Then they'll begin the process of bringing the sewer system from Gabreski Airport into the village with the idea to then create more restaurants. Again, we use Patchogue Village as that model of incredible success.
Yeah, no doubt. So they got it going over there. Now, we should point out, by the way, besides Riverhead, you have Peter Van Skoyak winning out in East Hampton, no surprise.
Yes.
Scott Russell retaining out in Southall. That was
Democrat.
A fight, though.
Yep.
Greg Dorosky put up a fight there. I thought that was going to be a tough one. And really no surprise with Jay Schneiderman. You had this highway guy, Alex Gregor, going up against him. And fully, the other guy really was no factor. But, you know, a lot of reports, Schneiderman, you know, who, you know, listen, he's been a staple out in the East End as a legislator as well. A lot of buzz about Schneiderman, you know, we'll see what happens in 4 years. Does he make a run for the county exec? Term limited, Steve Ballone will be. Maybe Steve takes a ride up to Albany to throw his hat into the gubernatorial ring. We'll see.
And Jay just ran 2 years ago for a county post. Don't forget about that. But he wins again, which was, to me, kind of expected. You also have a new councilman, Rick Martell, a Republican. It's weird. There used to be a time when in Southampton Town there was no Democratic Party. Now, like when a Republican, you know, gets elected as the case counsel, you're like, you know, wow. You could almost draw that line, Jay. East Hampton, you know, Southold, you know, Southampton, it'll be all Democratic. Riverhead, as we saw, Riverhead's that whole slate of Republicans won. Brookhaven's Republicans. So it's very interesting that you got that fine line that starts right at the townships, east and west.
So interesting stuff. Then we'll end it on this: the situation on Dune Road and all that's happening there, building it up. What are we looking at there? I know there's a lot of dredging going on from Shinnecock Bay. It's going to be done all month to restore the deal there, right?
Yeah, they're just going to be dredging from the bay bottom upwards to where the dunes were. That was a huge problem in that first nor'easter that just sort of lingered and stayed longer throughout a lot of tide cycles. That was an emergency operation to widen that beach, those mountains of dunes that they put that are right near the docks, the fishing industry out on Dune Road, Shinnecock. It's part of Dune Road. If you look at some pictures of it, it started to look scary because you could actually see the ocean where you used to see that very long wall. It was like a wall of hills that was put up there. And they had to work with the town and the county for not really just one storm, but then two storms. And then you had the third storm, which really wasn't a storm. It was more like just the way the ocean was cutting up against it. Now, just to wrap up, this has nothing to do with global warming. This is just your fall nor'easter storms. The one other issue that I wanted to bring up was they have a situation where the scallops are dying off out east. This is a pretty huge story for the Bayman. Some are pointing the finger at, hey, this is a sign of global warming, you know? So now who knows? Right now, nobody knows what the cause is. There's a professor of Long Island University who said it can't be any brown tide because there's been no brown tides in the Taconic since the mid-90s. So we do not know, Mr. J.
Well, season already being called a bust, you are correct, just opening up. So plenty of concerns and, of course, plenty of conversation to go along with that. Mr. Kapiro's report brought to you by the Triangle Pub. Folks, on a day like today, you got to have Todd's Chili, really. It is, it's one of those days. It's very chilly out, and why not have some chili? No question about it. The renowned juiciest burger we know. Fantastic stuff. Don't forget about the NFL package. A packet of Tums with you on Sunday, Jets and Giants. Full menu, by the way. Located right at the traffic light, three-corner intersection just south of Sunrise.
And Jay, 61 just to wrap up,
yes, sir.
Let's hope that at halftime they do a reenactment of Joe Namath running 10-yard scamper with gimpy legs with his hands up, pleading to the Giants in the mid-70s, please, please, nobody hit me, please. Oh, by the way, high school football playoffs start tonight.
Try. Rob's going to be right on Mondays. We look forward to that in a couple of weeks. By the way, a halftime show, how about a mud wrestling between Chris Johnson and John Mara? That'd be fun. I think they deserve it.
Got to be something worth looking at.
Good stuff. We'll talk next week.
Talk to you then, Jay.
There you go.